Chapter 56. Sitting down the quiet street from the neat ranch house, watching the comings and goings of the Crane children, he supposed Molly would have been the ideal target all by herself. She would be perfect in 100 ways. She was still quite pretty for a woman her age, though she buried her looks beneath her uniform. Her looks were more genuine somehow. So different from the rude blondes. The blondes' looks were so brittle and superficial. By their second day together, after the makeup had smeared and the sweat had soaked her hair, there wasn't much beautiful about her. She cracked so easily, and he hadn't even hurt her, not really. Not the way he would have liked to. He'd only ever touched her to reset her shoulder, to stroke her hair, or to clean her up. Molly be different. She was stubborn. She would put up a fight. She would die hard, even if, in the end, she would break. In the end, they were all alike. They all begged for him to kill them. He had gotten to know Molly over these last few months, as he had gotten to know them all, by watching, by listening, by hiding in plain sight in their midst. He had been careful to stay out of Jesse Stone's line of sight. He was the dangerous one, not the rest of them. That buffoon, Simpson, had once held the door open for him at the Gull. No wonder they called him Suitcase. He seemed to be about as intelligent as one. He had sat across from Healy in a doctor's office. But that was easy. Healy was so distracted by the state of his wife's health. He sat there in the driver's seat, windows down, enjoying the hints of fall in the air. Dallas was still like an oven, though not as horrible as it had been during July and August, as he cemented his plans and crossed paths with Belinda June Yankton. He kind of missed her. He had never experienced that kind of close proximity with a woman for that long, without the cycles of pain. He laughed at himself. Not something he did frequently, thinking that he had liked knowing she would be there waiting for him when he got back from his stupid catering jobs. There were times he had found his mind wandering, planning their time together when he got back to West Dallas. He missed the feel of her hair against his fingertips and the palm of his hand. He even wondered how she was doing, because that wasn't the type of information the police released to the media. Maybe he would drop in on her someday. Just the look on her face would be worth the risk. And as he sat there, he thought again of the perfection of Molly Crane in terms of Jesse Stone and the debt to pay. It seemed to him that of all the people in Stone's life, Molly knew him best. She was closer to him in ways no one else was or would ever be. At a bar one night after he had shot out the rear tires of two Hondas, he had overheard two of Stone's cops discussing Jesse and Molly. They were speculating that they had probably slept together once, and that it had gone badly. "That's got to be why they're always sniping at each other," the one cop said. "No, you idiot, that's exactly wrong," said the other. "It's 'cause they haven't, and they want to, that they're always busting on each other." The trouble with Stone was that he collected women the way some men collected memorabilia or coins. And the insane part of it was how devoted they were to him, how devoted they remained years after they had parted ways. Even his first girlfriend, from when he had played baseball, still had feelings for him. And it was to save her life that Stone had started this. He had considered going back to pay her a visit as well, to finish the job he had started. Maybe someday, was his new mantra. He repeated it over and over and over again, because he liked the sound of it and the fantasies attached to it. But he had to focus on the now and the near future. He grew bored with his surveillance of the Crane house. Molly, for all her camouflaged good looks, was not very exciting to watch. She was just another tired small-town housewife with too many kids and a husband she had probably tired of long ago. The smallness of most people's lives was shocking. He used to like the thought that his coming into a person's life was finally a bit of excitement. Exciting for him, at least. He was fairly certain his targets would have some different words for it. He started up the Sonic and made a U-turn. There was nothing more to gain by his staying here. He had planned another bit of mischief before leaving Paradise. It was intended to throw Jesse Stone, who he knew was probably already in Dallas, even further off his guard. But as he drove toward Salter Road, where the rear tire of yet another old Honda Civic was waiting, he felt the pull of something else. Curiosity, or perhaps opportunity. He slowed down, stopped. The Honda could wait. He thought about Luther Simpson and that bouquet of flowers. He made another turn and backtracked, heading to the Mousy Woman's house, the one with the empty window boxes.